We are going to be turning toward a short list, but a list of things that I, as pastor, have attempted to identify as waypoints or signposts or guideposts along the way for our journey for the next 6 months. And they have to do with gifting, your gifting, your calling, and then about family talk. We're going to talk about things the church has failed to talk about, and for that reason has neglected ministry of Christ to families. We're going to talk to you about sex. We're going to talk to you about money. We're going to talk to you about the devil and the strange interplay of all of the above. When we get to that point, we're going to be talking about friendship, because I'm going to make an argument I feel like God has given me about the first thing God attacks. It's not a marriage, not even relationships between men and women, but about friendship. More to say about that later, but you'll want to be a part of all of these conversations, I promise. We today, though, are going to crack open a little bit further a discussion about gifting. And we're going to be taking, I know, you probably know, we're going to be taking a spiritual gift survey. But I hate those things. But I've appointed Jessica to get it done in spite of my hatred. And so once she sits down with me tomorrow and gets an earful about what I hate about it, we're going to do it. Now, please dedicate your thoughts to this and doing it, because it is a way to measure and have you understand maybe something God hasn't previously been able to whisper to you. And you may have come out of that with an understanding of our need. But today I want to talk to you about gifting in the church. The title of the sermon is, "What You Don't Know May Kill You." What you don't know may not kill you, but you may not truly live. There wasn't enough room in the bulletin for the whole thing. What you don't know may not kill you, but you may not truly live. Let's pray. Father, in this moment, through the power of your Spirit, as we choose to cooperate, speak in our hearts and spirits. Use the human words to overlay any prompting that needs to happen, but as you speak to us, have a conversation with us in our inner man, allows us to understand our purpose in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. So, in the passage from Matthew 21, you heard a minute ago from Karen, the crux of the parable that Jesus shared was, one son told dad he'd go work and then didn't work. And the other son said he wouldn't go work, but changed his mind and went and worked anyway. Of course, the question Jesus had was which son more faithfully responded to his father. The idea was that all kinds of people who are disobedient to God in the front end, tax collectors, prostitutes, etc., were entering the kingdom of God because they repented, changed their mind, and went into the kingdom. While those who had said they had responded and who believed because they had Father Abraham as their progenitor in faith, that they were somehow getting it, but they didn't respond faithfully. So, and Jeff is going to come and preach. Yeah. Y'all realize this is really the only way to get to the bathroom, right? So, I mean, he may have to respond to a call. I don't know. I never embarrass anybody, Sarah. So one son changed his mind, decided to obey the father. I want to take that imagery, though, and lead it into a different application and ask you today, as a child of God, as a son or daughter, are you sure that your response to God has been everything you want it to be? Reflecting on these two responses, are you sure that your own response has been everything you want it to be? There are things to know about loving and serving God, you can only know, not with lip service, but with actually responding. To get up out of your seat and go and do the thing you feel called to do. Sometimes it can be situational, like you're nearby shopping when you walk out the door of the store and suddenly, you know, there's someone on the ground and paramedics are responding and there's sirens and you hear plainly in your spirit, go to that person, but you don't, because out of decorum and out of common sense, you know, somebody else, that's somebody else's job, right? But you go home knowing that God said, and you did not respond, go to that person. Not that you had any gift or skill training humanly that could help, but you knew that God wanted to do something and you didn't do it. So let's avoid those situations in our lives by becoming more aware of what it is God, the package God has for you. And denominationally, it's been quite a shame, because depending on the thrust or emphasis of your particular church background, you may have a total disbelief in any of this. I had coffee last week with a pastor we've appointed to a pulpit who just has no clue, because that part of his Bible had been written out of his training and teaching. There are things to know about God and knowing God that can only happen when you begin to actually serve God, responding with your physical self. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 puts it this way. The Apostle Paul is writing to Corinth. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now, for years that was translated ignorant. I like the word ignorant, but they don't use it anymore. My mama used to call me ignorant all the time. If you're ignorant, you're uninformed. You don't have the proper set of information. If you're ignorant of something, it can be deliberate, right? You could not want to know. Or it can be not deliberate at all. You've just never been exposed to certain information. And that's going to apply in our text today. But the translation we have with us today says, I don't want you to be uninformed. So whether the unintentional uninformation happens to you or within you, we want to pay attention to that today. Some people are clearly uninformed because they are never taught in a church. So much of what we have to do and the ground we have to go back over and plow in the coming months in order to remain the same. We're involving change to remain the same. We're going to go and plow a field and we're going to begin to teach from the ground up. Some people are uninformed because they were never taught. If you're right, you've got a pencil and taking notes, that'd be good for you to write down. Some are uninformed because they were never taught. Number two, some people are uninformed because they had deliberately. I hope this isn't you, but it's probably half the people in the room. Some people are uninformed because they deliberately avoid thinking about having everything God wants them to have because they're afraid, fearful of the cost. Either way, spiritual ignorance plays into the hand of the devil. In either case, your being uninformed plays into the hand of the devil, both in your life and through your life to others. And it robs your life of fullness. That's what I mean about it. It may not kill you, but you're going to have a far less brilliant life. You're going to have a far less brilliant experience of Jesus Christ out of willful or unwilling ignorance. We're going to make sure we take care of the part where we teach you, give you the right information. Satan seeks to rob you. God wants to bless you. Satan seeks to rob your family. God wants to bless your family. Satan seeks to destroy the church. God wants to build the church using you. Now, God has many rewarding things, right? I've participated in some mind-blowing things. Some of you in this room could say the same thing. We just experienced this because I showed up, because sometime or many times repeated in my heart, God, I'm responding to you. Put me out there where, you know, you need me to be. If you need me to be oil dry in the garage floor, or whether you need me to, you know, deliver words of life and death, use me today as you see fit. We find ourselves right in the middle of something glorious at a moment's notice. Their stories are too many to tell. Paul goes on to say in the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. I want to remind you, verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be uninformed." There are spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Verse 4, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in every one. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Let's pull that verse apart a little bit. To each is to each individual. Manifestation, that is the showing up of God, the outflowing of God. It'd be if we were in this room and we saw a column of fire, that would be a manifestation of God. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The common good, what does that mean? The common good. I've got several hairs in my mustache this morning. They're just tickling the tar out of my nose. That's why. Better. Common good is for all. The common good is for everybody. The common good means it's not withheld for special folks, the ones with more money or status or power. The common good means it's for everybody's good. Not the Pentecostal church, not the Holiness church or the Baptists or the Presbyterians or the Methodists. It's the common good of the church. Verse 8, "For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues." And I want to say this is not a definitive list, because if we look through Scripture, whether it be as a musician or many other gifts of service in the church, Paul didn't enumerate all gifts in this one list. But verse 11, "All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each," this is important, "apportions to each one individually, as He wills." Not as the individual wills. As He wills. Okay? So there are varieties of gifts. Now, some gifts are permanent, and it's probably the most common mistake made in American Christianity today, is this understanding. Some gifts, we call gifts, we really have natural talent and inclination. When we become saved, when we become dedicated, consecrate our heart to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes in and renovates and sanctifies, makes holy our natural inclinations and gifts. So we become better able to use those gifts for the kingdom. They become supernaturalized. Our natural gifts become supernatural. All right? Now, riding a bike. once you do it, what? You never forget it. So some gifting of God is like that. It sort of comes naturally, and once you can do it forever. Now, I tried recently. I'll tell you, it takes a special bicycle to hold me. But I truly did not forget how. Of course, it was seated, and it was in an exercise room, but anyway. And somebody helped me on it. Other gifts are purely supernatural. They come from outside of you and your composition as a person. Supernatural gifts intermix with your other talents. Oh, I left one part out. In your natural gifting, God also begins to sanctify your nasty gifts, the things you serve Satan with. If you were a card shark or a tax evading accountant, God comes in and first sanctifies those gifts and then turns them for use of his own. So the things you formerly served Satan with, he now captures and uses for his own service. Now, that's part of your natural sanctifying experience. Others are purely supernatural. They come from nothing inside of you. Now, these are the tend to be some of the manifestation gifts like we just read about. Healing, gifts of faith, accomplishing great things in a moment of supernatural inspiration. They don't come from anything you do. Now, these gifts tend to be situational. There are people with ministries like, say, healing ministry or something like that, and they go for years and years and years. It seems permanent. But most of the time, this kind of gifting is situational for the moment. Most of the time, you're available. You are the closest person. When God reached into the toolbox, his hand went around you because you were available. And so situationally now, because you were available, God is going to use you as a tool in his hand. So you're going to have a word of knowledge. He's going to gift you with words of wisdom. He might grant you a great faith to believe something. He might give you a touch that is healing. Okay? But if you're not available, so say you go hide in the bottom of God's toolbox for 50 years. Well, you're going to die and go to heaven someday. But you will have lived a life according to whose purpose? Quite selfish, I would think, actually. To withhold yourself from being available for anything God has. All right. The end of all of this is not even about you. Let's turn next to the next section, which is 27 through 31. Paul tells us who he's addressing. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. You're the body of Christ. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? What's the implied answer to those questions? No. But earnestly seek the higher gifts. And I will show you still more excellent way. And earnestly seek. In other words, become available to receive the higher gifts. And become available for any gifting, really. Because some people are a thumbnail in the body of Christ. Well, you know, I needed my thumbnail from time to time, and Jesus does too. He says there's a higher way. And then he goes into a chapter about love. You see, the aim and purpose of all gifting is God's own love of the body of Christ. God wants to gift you for yourself, for your fulfillment as a member in the body of Christ. God wants to fulfill you. Next, God wants to fulfill your family. And third, God wants to build up the body of Christ through gifting. Now, a lot of preachers, myself included, constantly falling into a ditch because hard as we pray, God doesn't seem to be appointing those thumbs and kneecaps. But that's really not it at all, is it? The calling is to all, remember? The problem is the all aren't responding. And God is stirring and calling and urging you to do a thing and you just sit there, nope, got mine, happy with it. But the church cannot function like the church, the body of Christ, is meant to function unless all are doing their part. Because our aim is love. We not only are going to perfect love in our midst and become sanctified, holy instruments of God, we're going to be an instrument of change in the world. But we're going to have to spur one another on. First, to become eager, to go from indifference or ignorance, to becoming eager to receive anything God has for you, to becoming available to both the permanent, more permanent gifts, and some of the situational gifts. So that in when God needs you and reaches for you, you'll be there. Now, we say we believe and follow the Bible. I beg you, don't say it anymore. You know, when I buy instructional material and it leaves out whole chapters because it doesn't align with a certain theology. Because people who babble on in tongues or do weird things physically in revival and all these other, because you're afraid of all the negative physical manifestations of the presence of God scares you and you don't want any part of it. You're ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's just disingenuous for publishing companies of churches to continue to pollute our Christianity with this negative backstream coming into your life, perpetuating your ignorance about the gifts of God. You always sensed you had more in your calling. You always knew that God potentially wanted to do more through you, but you have willfully and sometimes mistakenly avoided what God has for you. Well, brothers and sisters, no more. If you're going to say you're going to believe and follow the Bible, it's plain to me that as Paul wrote, these gifts were manifest and operating in the church he was writing to. This wasn't a propositional or potential future outcome. He was saying, this is for all. But like the son in the parable, maybe you will decide your response has not been everything it ought to be. The good news, God's still got things to do. And your response is crucial to what he wants to do. Amen? Amen. All right.